The message of January 26th did not get recorded, so I'm recording this message in the study. This message deals with Peter's struggle to understand that the gospel of the kingdom was open to Gentile believers, which was the burden of Paul in his ministry to the Gentiles. And I want to read beginning with Galatians 1 in verse 16, and then read a few verses in Galatians 2. Verse 16, Paul says, "To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles," or the heathen. "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia." Then Galatians chapter 2 verse 1 beginning. "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should go or had run in vain." When Peter was under the tutelage of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his ministry to the nation of Israel, we see that Peter learned well his lesson that this message of the kingdom was extended only to the nation of Israel. And we find that in Matthew chapter 10 and in verses 5 and 6. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says, Jesus sent the 12 away and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That message Peter learned and knew. But when Paul was accosted on the road to Damascus, the Lord revealed unto him that his ministry would be to the Gentiles and that he would be preaching the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the kingdom, to save Gentiles. And I want to for us to look at sort of a timeline as Peter evolved in coming to the realization that this message was now open to Gentiles. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Paul was had his Damascus Road experience approximately 33 A.D. And by the way, these dates are approximate, and the best that I could determine by looking at other men's views on this. But anyway, he was Paul, or the Lord arrested or accosted Paul on the road to Damascus, and he went into Damascus and found out that he was to bear his name, or reveal his Son to the Gentiles. And this experience of going of Paul, where he went to Arabia, is recorded in Acts chapter 9, verses 22 through 25. "But Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. This was just at the time when Paul, it seems like to me, went into Damascus went into Arabia for 3 years. Then after the 3 years, which was would be 36 A.D., in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And many believe that Acts chapter 9, verse 26, is the time that Paul went to Jerusalem to see Peter and was there for 15 days. It says in verse 26 of Acts 9, "And when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." So Paul had trouble in Jerusalem after spending 3 years in Arabia. And then 14 years after that, which would make it 50 A.D., in Galatians 2, verses 1 through 2, 1 and, 1 and 2, it says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in vain." Peter was there, and Paul went up to share with them the message that he was preaching among the Gentiles. And one thing that I notice is that Peter made no defense for the gospel being open to Gentiles at the time that Paul went up. So here we have 16 years later, Peter had not been convinced totally that the Gentiles were to receive this message of the kingdom. This visit, 14 years later, many believe occurred in Acts 9:27-29, where it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus," or the name of Jesus. "He was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." So Paul was in Jerusalem, Peter was there, and other apostles were there, and yet there was no defense given by Peter. Now, Peter was silent. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, Paul says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me," that is Paul, "as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Again, they just came to the consensus that Peter's message was to Jews and Paul's message was to Gentiles, and it was the same message. But we notice in Acts chapter 11, Peter was no longer silent. In verse 2 it says, "But when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, When thou wentest to men," it says, "thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them." And that occurred in Acts chapter 10, verse 45, where it says, "And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And by the way, the gift of the Holy Ghost is just is the gift of a heavenly inheritance, and the experience that Cornelius and his house had, God gave to them so that those who came with Peter would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this door had been opened to Gentiles. Then back in Acts chapter 11, in verse 15, it says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them," that is the Gentiles, "the like gift," that is a heavenly inheritance, "as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I, that I should withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace, and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life," that is, life in the kingdom of the heavens, ruling and reigning with Christ. Notice that it took time for Peter to remember the word of the Lord. You see that in verse 16. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." See, over 16 years, Peter, in other words, this truth hadn't been brought to him that this message was open to the Gentiles until he came to Cornelius' house. And the reason I'm bringing this out is this. Peter, an apostle, one who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the one who was had privileged opportunities to be with the Lord when he healed certain ones and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, Peter had a unique relationship with the Lord that many of the other apostles did not. But that did not give Peter an advantage as far as the truth of the message of the kingdom being open to Gentiles. But when the proper time came for him to understand that, the Lord moved in a mighty way for him to grasp that truth. In fact, it says, and I'm emphasizing verse 16 here of Acts 11, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." There's nothing like having a background of the knowledge of the Scriptures for the Holy Spirit to use to bring certain things to our remembrance. And Peter obviously learned and was able to, he had things in his thoughts and in his memory that the Holy Spirit could bring to remembrance at the proper time. So Peter still struggled, even though he came to the knowledge of this truth. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, or withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled, or were hypocritical, likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their hypocrisy." Here we find Peter struggling with fear. And we know that the Lord has not given us the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but he has given us the spirit of adoption, or the spirit of being placed in a position of a son. And so we find that Peter was fearful. Fear brings us into bondage. And Peter was still in bondage. And it's interesting. Peter moved away from the fellowship of the Gentiles, and it affected other people. It affected Barnabas, which is astonishing. Barnabas struggled too, and in the regard of being fearful for his reputation. So we need to be remember that what we do often affects other people, as it as the behavior of Peter did for Barnabas and other Jews that were with him. But we notice in later on in Peter's writings that Peter still had questions about Paul's doctrine. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, he says, "But our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destructions." I think Peter is acknowledging the fact that he possibly did not understand all that Paul wrote. And yet we know that Peter had advantages that you and I have not had. We have not been under the tutelage of the Lord personally, one-on-one, or one-on-12, or one-on the multitudes with Peter and the other apostles with him in the multitudes. So Peter still had questions. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is instructing Timothy how to deal with people who struggle with the deeper knowledge of the truth. And Paul told Timothy, he says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will." So Paul is instructing Peter or Timothy, don't be striving, struggling with other people when it comes to the deeper knowledge of the truth of the Word of God and the kingdom. But to be gentle, to be kind, keep on teaching, keep on being patient, being meek, instructing those that oppose themselves. We need to realize that people who resist the gospel of the glory of Christ, the kingdom message, they are opposing themselves. And just as it took Peter time to come to a certain level of the knowledge of the truth, and with all his experience, it's going to take other people more time, and we need to give them that time to respond. In other words, basically what I'm saying is this: it's meat in due season. The meat of the Word, which is the gospel of the kingdom, the Word of God, is given at the proper time. Peter, on the roof of the tanner in Joppa, the Lord let down a sheet with unclean animals on it and told Peter to eat them, or to kill and eat. And Peter resisted. But the Lord, in due season, was teaching him that what he was now calling, what Peter called unclean, the Lord is now calling clean. But it didn't come at the beginning. It came in due time, or in due season. So we need to appreciate the fact that those who struggle with the deeper knowledge of the truth are opposing themselves, and we need to be patient in teaching them, waiting upon God to give them repentance to acknowledging or coming into the exact knowledge of the truth here being the truth of the kingdom. And by coming to the knowledge of the truth, they're going to recover themselves from the snare of the devil. And the devil takes them captive by fear, being afraid. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need to be patient in teaching that these might recover themselves out of that snare. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, it talks about the meat, milk and the meat of the word. Verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Babes are those that are not skillful in the word of righteousness. I believe that the word of righteousness is a reference to the meat of the word. The word of righteousness has to do with the righteousness which is of by faith, which is by faith, or pleasing God. And so those that are into the milk of the word are those that really do not understand and cannot put it together, the word of righteousness. And again, for it, because he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that have matured. They're the ones who are becoming skillful in the word of righteousness, which is the meat of the word. And by reason of use, that is, they are in the word, they're studying the word. I just think about Paul. It's just interesting how quickly Paul responded to the commission of going to the Gentiles. First of all, Paul had not been instructed by the Lord not to take that message to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans, so he didn't have to unlearn that. Peter had to unlearn that. Paul didn't. But Paul was well instructed in the Hebrew, or in the Old Testament scriptures. He had sat under Gamaliel. Peter had not sat under Gamaliel. Peter was a fisherman. He was not a theologian. Paul was a theologian. And the Lord took the scriptures that Paul had studied, and he gave him understanding. God allowed him to put those verses and those scriptures together so that Paul understood the Word of God, which is the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And he did that in a very brief time. And the reason he could do that is because Paul was a very good student of Old Testament. And that's basically where the message came from. But strong meat belongs to them who are full age, that is, maturing in the Word, by reason of use of the Word of God, and the Word of righteousness. They're the ones that will have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what is the habit, or how do the babes behave themselves? What are their problems? Where are their struggles? And we can be warned of that too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat." Paul fed them with milk and not the word of righteousness, because they were not able to bear it. And the reason that they were not able to bear it was because they were carnal. Carnality hinders the word of righteousness. Carnality hinders the gospel of the glory of Christ. Carnality hinders the message of the kingdom. And carnality keeps you in the crib, if you want to believe, or in the nursery department. So Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So we need to take warning that we need to be careful about our carnality. Carnality has to do with love of money. Carnality has to do with food, clothing, and shelter, worrying about that. Carnality deals with the cares of this life. What about the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life, and surfeiting or excess? All of these things choke the word of the kingdom. And so therefore we need to learn to trust the Lord for all of our needs and not to be wringing our hands over the things the Lord knows we have need of. So we are to mature and to grow up, and we find this back in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles, or the beginning principles, of the doctrine of Christ, that is, the word of righteousness, let us go on to perfection, becoming skillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, going on to perfection is becoming skillful in the word of righteousness, which requires studying of the word of God. Not laying again, and that word laying is in the present tense, not laying again over and over. That's what it's talking about. The carnal are just constantly relaying the foundation. They're never building on top of it. They're just constantly putting in the foundation. And the foundation has to do with repentance from dead works. Dead works are works of carnality, wood, hay, and stubble. And even faith toward God, that is, the faith toward God, what they were doing is that they would begin to walk by faith and then they would depart from the faith. That's what it means by laying again the foundation of faith toward God. Getting started and quitting. Getting started and quitting. Getting started and departing from the faith over and over again. We need to stop that. There needs to be consistency in our life, and we need to be faithful in our walk with the Lord, and not continually repenting. We need to repent. We need to confess our sins. That's understandable, and we all have done that, and we all need to do that. But we need to go beyond just constantly confessing of sin and repenting from the same sins. There comes a time when we begin to be able to discern between both good and evil, and begin to choose the good and refuse the evil. I just think about the passage in Isaiah 7:15, where the Lord ate butter and honey, that he might know to choose the good and refuse the evil. The meat of the word and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit will help us to choose the good and refuse the evil. So, what's the exhortation of those that oversee the church, or overseers of the flock? And with this, I want to close. In Acts 20:28, Paul tells the elders, the overseers, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. I think that as a pastor teacher, we need to be careful of our own lives. We need to take heed to our own lifestyle and our own behavior. It does affect other people, just like Peter, pulling away from the Gentiles because of those coming down from the church in Jerusalem. Peter was worried about his reputation. We need to take heed to ourselves, because it does affect the flock. It does affect others. And we need to be choosing the good and refusing the evil. We need to continue to exercise ourselves in the meat of the word, that we might be prepared to minister to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made us an overseer. What are we to be doing? We're to be feeding them. And for us to be able to feed them, we need to have been feeding ourselves. And so this is the exhortation that we have from the word of the Lord. Again, I just want to emphasize the fact that being an apostle does not give you an edge, so to speak, in coming to the knowledge of the truth. Meat comes in due season. The Lord opened the door for Peter, or brought to his remembrance certain things at the proper time for Peter to come to the knowledge of the truth pertaining to the Gentiles. And even though Peter knew the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel long before Paul was converted or was accosted on the road to Damascus, he still struggled for over 16 years to accept that Gentiles could now enter into the kingdom of the heavens and rule and reign with Christ from the heavens. So being an apostle does not necessarily give you an edge when it comes to the deeper knowledge of the truth. What helps us to come to the deeper knowledge of the truth is faithfulness on our part to continue to study and to continue to wait upon the Lord, being patient, and the Lord will open the truths to us when it's time. He will bring to our understanding when we are musing upon the Word of God, He will bring to understanding the truths, and we will be able to put them together in such a way that they make sense. So I would encourage all of us to continue to study His Word and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him, knowing that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And in due season, we will come into the knowledge of the truth. Father, I just pray that you'd bless these thoughts to those who listen. We just commit this message to thee. And we just ask you, Lord, to encourage all of us to continue faithfully studying your word, knowing that at the proper time, the truths will be revealed and become relevant and profitable to each of us. Bless again, I pray, the message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.